because it's tape two of the Cecil Mackey interview. When the last tape ended, you were talking about the some of your staff, and you mentioned Ken Thompson.
I mentioned Ken Thompson, and I mentioned Fred Carlisle, who was my executive assistant. Actually, a man named Al Ballard had stayed in that position for a while and then moved to SUNY to be with Cliff Wharton, and Fred Carlisle came in when Al left. Luanna Simon, who is currently our provost, was my special assistant for minority affairs for a time, did a terrific job, and Lee Winder and I talked about her career and asked her if she would like to move over into the provost office, and she did that, became an assistant in the provost office, an assistant provost, associate provost, provost, and let's see, who else? Moses Turner, I replaced the student affairs vice president. There's a man who had been here a long time. Moses came in difficult circumstance. There was a good bit of resentment about his appointment. Some of it was racially based, but he survived that. I think he served 16 years in the office and did a fine job. He handled a number of controversial matters that came up with students over the years that he was there. Sometimes a disruption over some of the issues, but he did a good job on that. Jack Breslin had been, I think Jack had the title executive vice president. I changed that, but kept Jack as the vice president for the whole time that I was president of the university. I mentioned earlier that I'd hired Connie Stewart and Moses Turner. Connie had a lot of Washington and journalistic experience, and I thought did a good job. I was very happy with the staff I had. Ken Thompson had worked with me at Florida State, South Florida, and Texas Tech, so he and I both knew what we were getting into when when we decided to work together here. Mm-hmm. And I thought I had very good people for staff support. I thought they worked together well, and so I was pleased with that.
How about your relationship with the board? Did that change over time?
Yeah, it was never totally smooth. The vote was 8-0, I think, when they took it finally, but that didn't reflect the actual vote. They decided when there was a majority that they would come out a unanimous vote, and that's a good thing to do. It masks a little, but maybe it masks a lot. But I had very strong support from the chair and several of the members the whole time I was here. There were a couple who had their own agendas. There were sometimes ones who didn't particularly approve of or agree with the positions on certain matters that were very important to the university, and those sometimes, if they couldn't resolve them within the board, if they didn't have a majority in the board, it sometimes reflected in their relationship with me. There were some who, one or two, who would have liked to have had a president who was more responsive to them and would have been willing to change almost any time to get someone who would be more tractable or more responsive to their preferences. There were some unlikely strong supporters. Peter Fletcher, who was a surprise appointment of Milliken's and a Republican, turned out to support most of what I did very strongly on the basis of his commitment to academic quality and the nature of the institution, and we became good friends. But I guess there was an undercurrent. I didn't consider that particularly unusual.
Mm-hmm. I know Dr. Wharton had a 5-3 ratio that was so tough that was maintained almost throughout on the board. And you didn't have that exact thing. It varied.
Not in the same way that I understand it to have existed in Cliff's years here. Mm-hmm. But, well, there were some changes in the board, too. So the pattern of my relationships with them didn't stay the same when they would change. Sometimes it was helpful, sometimes it wasn't. But,
Were you teaching when you were president? Did you teach at all?
I taught, generally I taught at least one course a year was the pattern, and I had done that at the other institutions.
What did you like about teaching, or do you like about teaching?
I guess for a good while I had always assumed that would be my career. I enjoy the interaction with the students. I enjoy the work with the discipline that I care about. And it always seemed to me that if you didn't care something about teaching, there wasn't much point in being an administrator at a university. You might as well be the president of a firm that made beer bottles or something like that. And so I really enjoyed being a part of the academic enterprise in the most fundamental way, and that's being in the classroom with the students. So I encouraged the deans and others to teach. I didn't have a whole lot of luck with them. Some did, but not nearly as much. I wouldn't say I hounded them, but I spoke frequently at the dean's council meetings and with them individually, saying, you know, it would be nice if you could teach a course a year or something like that. And I don't think I ever got quite as many as half of them to doing it.
Mm-hmm. While you were president, were there the contact with students that you had? Were there any special programs that you did, or?
Yeah, there were a number. Number of things. I used to, when I first got here, I'd go into the dorms and have dinner with a group of students, and sometimes then just go to a student's room, get the people in student affairs to find a student, and then I'd go to the student's room and people could come by and just sit and talk. Not as much here, but at other two universities, I had sometimes call-in radio shows, television program that I had a series of events that would bring students into Cole's house here. We had a periodic meeting, a dinner with the heads of student organizations, a variety of things like that to try to make the contacts as broad and as informal as possible. I'd usually have my class over to Cole's house for sort of a picnic supper one night. Didn't do it, not every term, didn't always work out, but frequently would do that. So.
How did staying at Cole's house affect your family? I mean, it's kind of like a parsonage almost.
Oh, yeah. It clearly has both its good and its bad. I don't know that I'd really recommend it for someone with children, young children. We were fortunate, I think, in that we were able to keep it relatively private. We came here with the board chair, whose wife didn't choose to be involved in many university events just because she was the wife of the chair of the board. Mm-hmm. He had great understanding of Claire's role. My wife wanted to be involved. That was fine. If she chose not to, you know, she didn't feel, and I didn't either, that the board had hired two of us. Mm-hmm. They had hired me as the president. She enjoyed doing a great many things and did them very well, but we didn't turn it into as much of a public facility as some of the presidents choose to do. Mm-hmm. And that was, I guess, because we had young children in the house, and we wanted to keep it as much a home for them as possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's hard not to be affected. You, We have meetings with the department, with the public safety people, the police, and they talk to you about what to do in hostage situations and when they take over control, if the hostage is taken in the house, if something happens outside the house. You have to go through emergency procedures like that with the children. When they come home, they know that if they see certain things going on here, they go to the union or somewhere else and call home or call the police to find out whether to go home or not. And we had demonstrations that raised those issues with them. The effect of on them of the intense publicity sometimes when there are serious issues flaring up on campus. That had been more an issue in Florida than it had been here, but there was still some of that. Just a reaction that other junior high children have to your children when they live in a place like that, the things that other kids say to your kids about their life.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it not desirable, but some, you know, some opportunities. They get a chance to meet the people who come through to shake hands with the Chinese ambassador or whatever it is like that. To meet the people who stay there at commencement, the speakers and all. But you know, it's certainly a mixed bag. And we were right on the path. Our bedroom was right over the path from Dooley's back to the dorms.
Oh, no.
And on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, it wasn't uncommon to have people come and stand under the window and yell to me, and you know, that's not necessarily what you look forward to.
No.
When the Tigers were doing well, when they were in the World Series and they won, at one point in that sequence there was a big gathering of students, and the police called and said, "We want to warn you, they're coming towards Cole's house." Now, what on earth we had to do with the Tigers' success in baseball? But there were people climbing up on the roof of Cole's house, and they told us to pull all the shades down. Mm-hmm. And my younger daughter sort of went and peeked through one of the shades, and there were a group of people out on the roof.
Oh, no.
And probably the event that my wife and I laugh about the most, we had a trampoline in the backyard, and it was sort of up in a corner near the edge of the yard. And at Cole's house, they had a series of lights for the backyard, and they had a switch, and you could turn the switch, and one after another, a series of lights would come on. And one Saturday night, we heard some noise out in the backyard, and so I went downstairs, and my wife came with me, and we were curious as to what was happening, and so I was standing there, and I turned the switch and threw all the lights on at one time. And here were a couple who had decided that our trampoline was the ideal place for their lover's tryst.
Oh.
And you never saw two people getting up to get themselves together to get off into the bushes any faster. And I've often wondered how they describe that event to their friends or whomever they tell about it.
That's funny. Life in the fishbowl.
Yeah. Yeah. They stole our canoe out of the backyard. And
oh, no.
A few other things like that. And the band. Mm. You asked about Cole's house. The band practiced on the field immediately adjacent to Cole's house. And when they would do a particular turn, everything would be facing, and they would rattle the windows of our bedroom or the dining room or whatever. And they usually begin early Saturday morning, like 6 o'clock on football weekends. So we got to be good friends with the band. We would invite the band over one evening each year, and they would all come for a reception. And we enjoyed it. My wife's a musician. She got along well with the music folks. But those are just some of the little incidental aspects of living there.
What did you like best about being president at this university?
I guess the best way to answer that, the most accurate way, is in the context of how I talked about the job with graduate students or young aspiring administrators who would sometimes say they were getting a PhD in higher ed administration because they wanted to be a university president or something like that. And the way I expressed my own view of it was that I never wanted to be a university president. I wanted to do some of the things that only the president got to do. And that I thought that was the reason for being in the office. If you wanted to have the opportunity to make some of the decisions that the president made to influence the course of the institution and to reflect some values that you thought were important in decisions for the university, then to have the influence you wanted, you needed to be the chief executive officer of the institution. And that people who wanted to be the president probably didn't belong there, because they were probably more interested in the trappings of office than in the functions of office. But just as in government, I had enjoyed being a party to helping formulate issues, to consider options, and then to make decisions about public policy, the same was true in higher education. I enjoyed that part of the work. If you want to be in a position to make those decisions, if you want to have that opportunity, you have to do a lot of other things that no president would be able to ask a self-respecting faculty member or a department chair or even a dean to do. So you spend a large percent of your time doing things that nobody else really wants to do in order to have that small percent of time to make the decisions that are most vital to the institution. And that percentage gets smaller and smaller. A faculty member can choose to do what she or he wants to do most of the time. A chair can do a lot of it. A dean still has at least 50-50. Mm-hmm. Provost, not so much. And a president, very little. You're doing what somebody else decides much of the time. So it has to be pretty important, highly important to you, to be able to decide that 10-15%, whatever it is, of the time on the important issues that are going to make a difference. I found that interesting. I found it challenging. And I found it work that I enjoyed. And so I didn't think so much of being the president as I did of doing those things which the person holding that office, A, got to do, and B, had to do. And, sometimes when I go through that sort of a discussion with the graduate students, they didn't like to look at it in that way. They wanted to be the president. Mm-hmm. I said, that's probably the wrong reason for getting there, and I hope you come to a better understanding of what it means before you do, if you're ever going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Your decision to leave the presidency, what contributed to that?
Oh, this was the third place I'd been a university president. It'd been a good many years. The controversy took some toll, and there'd been controversy in other places, not much at Texas Tech, some, but mm-hmm. a lot in Florida and a good bit here. And the learning curve was flatter. There were fewer new issues that my staff and I hadn't considered, fewer problems that we hadn't dealt with one way or another, fewer things that didn't have some experience with. And I had the feeling that having been through all of the things that the early 80s meant here, that it just might be a good time for both me and for the university to make it possible for the board to get another president. Times were going to be better. I didn't want to stay to retirement in the job. And so it just seemed to me that it was probably a good time to make that decision. I didn't have any particular idea of what I wanted to do beyond that. I didn't really think I was interested in looking for another presidency anywhere. But
so you returned to teaching then?
I did, ultimately, yes. But I was headed for the University of Hawaii, and that didn't work out, but it was so close that I had a contract with the board, mm-hmm. and then there was an interpretation that the board didn't have the authority to carry out the terms of the contract that they had agreed to. Mm. That related to their statutory authority, the compensation that we had agreed to was some private, some public funds, and the ethics board in Hawaii concluded that the board didn't have statutory authority to use private funds to compensate the president. They could use private funds to compensate anybody else in the university, but not the president. And I told them without a contract, I couldn't go. And they said, well, we'll fix it in the legislature next session. I said, no, I can't. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. And they weren't able to get organized to try to change the law. The legislature adjourned, and also I decided I just wouldn't go. And at that point, chose to stay here.
What have you been involved in since here at the university since you left the presidency, besides teaching?
I guess my principal involvement in terms of time and energy has been work with the United Arab Emirates. I've helped that country with its higher education system in a variety of ways. And it's taken up a lot of time and a lot of effort. But I continue to be involved. We've created a new university. I helped them design the Ministry of Higher Education, create that. I continue to help advise on the operation of a new university, which we've created over there, which is unlike anything else in the Middle East. A university for women. Taught and administered in English with a major emphasis on technology. And so it's been very gratifying, but it's also been very helpful in terms of my teaching interests and all. I teach comparative economic systems, and it's allowed me to learn a lot about the Middle East and Islam and introduce that into my students' work in ways that I'd never been able to do.
How about the law school? Were you involved in that?
President McPherson asked me to serve as a facilitator to bring the law school from Detroit to our campus. I was involved working with Don Bowersox and working on some of the final terms of the agreement. But it took year and a half of work in my part. Maybe more than that, working with the architects, getting the building done, relationships with the faculty, the logistics, relationships with MSU and the law school. So yeah, that was a major involvement for an extended period of time. Either four or five springs, I forget which now, I went to the Netherlands with MSU students. I think I went there 4 years, and in 5 winters I went as a distinguished visiting professor to the United Arab Emirates. Spent part of one winter as a consultant to a university in Thailand, which was engaged in a major reorganization. National Science Council, I think it was, asked me to go and help them. And so spent a number of weeks there. So international involvement has been pretty high on my activity list.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about that when you were president, but the international programs?
Yeah.
How were you involved when you were president?
Well, extensively, in lots of ways. Ralph Smuckler and I worked on a number of things. He asked me to be involved, and I was interested otherwise. I guess the biggest single project would have been China. I went to China with MSU representatives, and we visited a number of universities and laid the groundwork for what became a series of institutional relationships with other universities in China. Was in Japan a couple of times with alumni people there, trying to strengthen relationships with the Japanese who had been MSU graduates. So was in Thailand. Was active in Musea. Among other things, went to Nepal. We were the principal contractor through Musea. With the principal, the lead university on a contract in Nepal. And so I went out there to help Bill Flynn, who was the head of Musea, with that. And there were other things. It was before I got here. I'd gone with the delegation, the first group of American educators to go to Cuba. So I've had an extensive involvement in international activities through most of my career in higher education.
Did you have any contact with Peter McPherson while he was head of AID?
I'm not sure whether I saw him once there or not, but that's the extent of it. The answer is effectively no.
Okay. How about President Han, your relationship with him?
Cordial on the face of it. He had some involvement with the alumni group, but I was never fully aware of the extent of it. Mm-hmm. He came to see me immediately. I invited him to campus and went to see him. We had a little test of protocol. I wanted to go see him. He said no, he wanted to come to my office. So we worked it out where we did one of each very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. But Hannah had been a big supporter of Jack Breslin. And I think he would probably have been happy to have seen Breslin become president for a variety of reasons. My understanding, though I have limited firsthand knowledge, is that Hannah was not on campus much, if at all, during the Wharton years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was not aware of that when I first came here, but my own personal approach is actually before I came here, I think, after the board approved my appointment, I was in touch with Hannah to talk with him and ask for his thoughts, his background. And I remember that the first time he came to my office, I think it was our second meeting, we had talked for a long time, and he was leaving, and he always indicated he was loath to give advice. He said, I have just one thing to suggest, and one thing for you to remember. And he said, always remember, life is finite. And that was it.
Interesting. In your community activities, were you involved in all in the town gown issues, any of those?
I was involved.
Support for the arts, or?
Oh, I guess if you looked at anything that my wife and I were both active in, it would have been the arts. Mm-hmm. Personal interest, hers stronger than mine, but both strong. But through Wharton Center and through other community activities. She, being a musician, had easy entree and a lot of contact. I don't remember anything in the way of town gown issues. Mm-hmm. I was always involved. I was active in Boy Scouts. I was president of the Scout of the Council here and a variety of other things, and had been in other communities. So, you know, we were active in the church, so we were always with people. I was on the board of a local bank. I think my involvement was considerably less than it might have been had I had different relationships in terms of the athletic programs early.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that had been suggested as being inevitable or certain to occur didn't materialize after the first disagreements where the community, some of the business folks, wanted a say on the athletic decisions and they didn't get them. There was some distance as a result of that, mm-hmm. and that carried over for a good long time.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Looking back when you first came to Michigan State, did you anticipate you'd be here more than 20 years later?
No. Mm. No. Never occurred to me one way or another. Mm-hmm. My wife and I generally had talked about things. I said, you really ought not to go places you wouldn't be happy to stay if it turns out that there's reason to. But we never tried to plan, you know, our whole lifetime or a whole career. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, I think we enjoyed every place we were. We liked the people everywhere we went. There are a few places we'd go back to sooner than some of the others, but there are no really unpleasant circumstances. And I consider that we were both very fortunate in that regard. Our children are the same. They had all...